It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Coming to you live from the greatest country in the world, broadcasting from the tippy top of the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a man who is not sitting downtown in a courtroom trying to find a jury for his upcoming hush money trial. No, ma'am. The former president of the United States is.
What the hell is the world coming to?
I do not know, but we're going to take you inside the Trump trial from a 20,000-foot view. We're also going to go inside the House of Representatives, where they're gearing up to throw. This is crazy. Mike Johnson out of the speaker's chair. I don't know that it's going to happen, but Chip Roy has as good of a vantage point as anybody. He'll be stopping by. Kennedy's going to be here. The human highlight reel. And, of course, your calls, text, tweets, carrier pigeons, always welcome. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of the action. You know the rules. You could be a Republican. You could be a Democrat. You could be a Libertarian. You could be an Independent. We don't discriminate on the show.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. Just behave. Don't be a... That's all. Happy Wednesday. Hooray. If you watched me on the Ingram Angle last night with Laura Ingram, we had a fantastic time. If you missed it, it is on the Fox Across America website where you can get tickets to all my upcoming shows, including this Saturday night in Fargo, baby. Oh, my. That's serious. That's serious action. The flag listeners, buckle up. This is not a drill. It's a real thing. We've been working on this event for 3 years. I'm really excited. I love getting out there and meeting you guys. It's like my favorite thing about doing this job. I like being on TV, you know, other than them yelling at me to stop eating all the time.
Put that cookie down now!
But TV's great. Radio's fantastic. Obviously, not everybody is super supportive on the show.
You're just another dirtbag.
But the point is, they're both a lot of fun. But my natural habitat is absolutely getting out there in the wild and meeting people. You know, as a comic, as a cab driver, I like to talk to people. I'm very curious. I'm very interested in your life and, you know, what you prioritize. And it's one of the reasons when it comes to the Trump trial that, you know, we're taking the angle of approach that we are. We're technically in day three, but we have not been, you know, filling the show with every ounce of minutia related to this trial. Why? Because we're a talk show and we're not a bunch of, you know, activists masquerading as journalists like they are over at CNN.
CNN is the worst.
They're not the best. I mean, I'd put MSNBC right there with them. Okay, but what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to cover it in like what I would almost consider to be a teachable way. Okay, and what I mean by that is, you know, I'm a greater good guy. I get on the air and I just want to help. I would love to be able to look back on whatever amount of time I've had in you know, the limited spotlight that I do and know that the impact I had on the consumer was a positive one, meaning your life was somehow better off or your mood was somehow better off or your relationships are better off, less contentious when it comes to politics. So that's, you know, basically the human angle that I approach every one of these stories with. What's happening at the other channels is their trial in this instance is more important to them than their verdict. Okay, why? Because the trial represents content and they're going wall to wall on it. Oh, he fell asleep the other day. Did you sell my good?
Wrong.
You don't know. Oh, he looked at a juror. I think he was threatening her.
Wrong.
Okay, they don't know. They're not in the courtroom. There were no cameras allowed in the courtroom. So the idea that we're going to devote wall-to-wall coverage or something we can't even see with our own eyes means we're only going to be taking the word for people who, to be honest with you, haven't been very accurate when it comes to reporting on Donald Trump over the years.
I think he's got a point.
But the teachable moment, and the point I'm trying to make here, okay, is we've had legal scholars on. There's not a self-respecting legal scholar on the planet who thinks this case is legitimate. And what I mean by that is this is a deal that's nearly 10 years old. which means this verdict or trial, anyway, could have been brought 9 years ago, 8 years ago, 7 years ago, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's being brought now because we happen to be in an election year.
Correctamundo.
So on that end, it's already tainted. But then you factor in a prosecutor who literally ran for his job by vowing to prosecute Donald Trump. In a normal court of law, he's not even allowed into the trial.
Correctamundo.
But then you get to the fact that they're trying to indict him on a federal charge at a local level. Why are they doing that? Because two other prosecutors have passed on this case, passed on it. They saw Trump paid hush money during the 2016 election, and they were like, oh, we can't charge him for this. This is like standard operating procedure in politics. Okay, but understand, because of that, the statute of limitations expired at the local level, meaning if they were just charging Trump for the hush money, okay, they no longer can because it's beyond the statute of limitations. So what Alvin Bragg is attempting to do is he's saying, well, the hush money crime was only committed because Trump was trying to cover up a federal crime. So therefore, this is a federal case and we can extend the statute of limitations another 3 years.
That is a fact check false.
And we say fact check false because Jonathan Turley, Paul Morrow, any legal scholar you're going to talk to on this channel of merit is going to tell you that in the indictment, he doesn't say, he does not tell you and disclose what the federal crime is.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
You understand? So he's saying, oh, no, we can extend the statute of limitations on this trial, okay? We've got to do this because he was actually trying to conceal a federal crime, okay? That being said, we can't tell you what the federal crime is.
This is total crap.
Okay, in a normal court of law, this isn't even admissible. So understand. From a legal standpoint, I don't have a ton of analysis to offer you because it's a farce, okay? There is, again, not one legal scholar who thinks it's legit. But the reason the other networks are going wall to wall, and this is the teachable moment, is because they have a different set of priorities than you, okay? They want, obviously, more than anything else in the world, to deny the Republicans a victory in the 2024 election. So on that end, you get it. Okay, there's a motivation here, but their aim is not true. What I mean by that is they're aiming at a target you don't care about. Okay, some of you probably bothered that, you know, Trump's wife was home with a newborn baby and he slept with a porn star.
Oh, yes, I've read about that in the Bible.
Okay, it happened. It's a thing. Okay, they reached a deal to settle up the differences and not talk about it. Money was exchanged, services rendered, all that whole stuff, payment provided. Okay, some of you might be bothered by that a little bit, but at the end of the day, like his position on other issues so much more than Biden's that you're going to overlook it. Again, you're not necessarily voting for a pastor so much as you're, you know, voting for a direction you'd like to see your country go in. But the fact remains, when they go wall to wall on this, and make no mistake about it, like this case starting over at MSNBC, a straight party. I mean, just, yeah, well, I mean, seriously, noisemakers every hour. They're excited. Okay, but they're excited because in their worldview, okay, they're going to deny Trump another path back to the White House by focusing on this trial. Now, the reason I tell you that's such a fool's errand is because they're living in an imaginary world where you get out of bed saying to yourself, you know, screw the border Biden screwed up. Forget about the, you know, the inflation we're battling with at the cash register. So what if crime's through the roof and I can't pay for gas? You know, guy shagged a porn star in 2006. And that should take precedent over everything else we're doing. I mean, that's the mindset, okay, that they're taking in their worldview. Okay, the American voter gets out of bed and says what Trump did with Stormy Daniels is in 2006, or maybe to conceal the payment 10 years later, is more important than the precipitous decline in your quality of life.
You cannot be serious.
Oh, they're serious. And if they don't get their way in the trial and he's found not guilty, that's assuming they don't just throw this case out because it's an absurdity. They're going to go back to saying, well, anybody happy about this is just happy. Because they're plotting another January 6th.
The media is a bunch of losers.
And that is the hook. Okay, if you're just following everything from 20,000 feet, that's what's going on. Trump yesterday finishes up a day of jury selection. heads uptown to the bodega, where, if you remember, business owner defended himself from a violent criminal who was in the process of trying to kill shoppers, shot the guy, at which point liberal New York City had the bodega owner arrested.
That's not right.
Okay, imagine. What do you mean here? Self-defense. Okay, but Trump went up, okay, yesterday, and got an enormous turnout from Hispanic voters, from black voters, okay, from everybody in the neighborhood who swarmed the bodega, or as Jill Biden famously called it, the bogada. I mean,
that was embarrassing.
Remember when she tried to bond with voters in San Antonio? You're as unique as the breakfast tacos in San Antonio or the bogadas in the Bronx.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
And that's pretty much what they said. They booed her. Okay, because their priorities aren't your priorities. MSNBC's priorities aren't your priorities. Okay, I mean it. I mean, Fox wins in the ratings because we're talking about real things that affect real people. What Donald Trump did to Stormy Daniels does not affect you.
I think he's got a point.
Doesn't affect you. Doesn't affect the price of groceries. Doesn't affect how safe you and your family are. Doesn't affect the cost of gas. Doesn't affect you. It doesn't. Okay, but they prioritize it because in their world, and this is the danger of echo chambers. Okay, if everyone in the huddle thinks the same way, you lose your self-awareness that would otherwise tell you how crazy you sound to rational people. Again, if you were to walk up to a person struggling with inflation, okay, fearful of the fentanyl that's killing our kids at a record level, saddened by the fact that tens of thousands of children are being sex trafficked at the border, spooked that we have a blundering idiot guiding our foreign policy right now.
Tell them like it is.
Surrounded by people who have no idea what they're doing.
I'm Kamala Harris, and I approve this message.
Okay, if you go up to one of those people who's just living their life in the moment we happen to inhabit and say, well, we got this election coming up, and you know the one guy banged a porn star in 2006, so you probably shouldn't vote for him. You should vote for the other guy who screwed up your groceries and your gas and your safety. Whose administration is trampling your rights as an American, forcing a vaccine on you that doesn't work, firing from your job if you don't get it. You know, disregard all that. Because, you know, back in 2006, okay, this guy was playing a golf outing and decided to tack on one extra hole.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Maybe two. I don't know. Maybe two.
What the hell did you just say?
I'm just saying. Okay, the point is, none of that affects you personally. A lot of you are probably more affected by the type of joke I just told than the action, okay, that he engaged in. But that's the scam of this trial. Like, I could cover it for you minute to minute, wall to wall, but it's all reckless speculation based on a complete legal absurdity. But I'm happy it goes on. I want it to get eyeballs because if people watch it, they go, oh, I get what this is. This is an absurd case. This is like the other case. You know, there's a Joy Reid clip that I want to play you during the course of today's show from Joy Reid on MSNBC.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No! No!
But I'm going to get to it. Because what Joy Reid is talking about was, she's like, I'm just proud because Trump's being, you know, prosecuted by these black folk. As if Trump was somehow running the Klan his whole adult life while he hosted the highest rated primetime show on NBC, you know, the channel that owns her network.
Oh, wow.
Do you understand? Trump was there working in that tent for 15 years. He entered politics and everyone in that tent was like, this guy's literally Hitler. I'm like, well, Hitler's paychecks are getting signed by the same guy as yours. Okay, it's all performative stupidity. But even when you hear Joy Reid say something like, oh, well, the black people, this is great moment. The black people are embarrassing themselves. The specific people doing this. Okay, Fannie Willis got caught shagging her side piece on the taxpayers' dimes. The dude has been thrown off the case.
Get him out of here. Get him out.
Alvin Bragg is attempting this embarrassing triple Lindy of a legal high dive to tie an expired statute of limitations case at a local level to a federal level. okay, and failing spectacularly in the process because nobody in their right mind thinks Trump's getting a fair trial. But lost in all of this is that regardless of what the outcome is, your grocery bills won't go down, your gas bills won't go down, the illegal migration numbers won't go down, the amount of fentanyl poisonings won't go down, the amount of child sex trafficking victims won't go down. All of that will continue to go up because the same guy is in power at the moment, and that guy's name is not Donald Trump, it's Joe Biden.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
But that's why we're in the position that we are with this trial. You're getting wall-to-wall sensationalism over there. Did he fall down? Was he staring at Maggie Haberman? And I, Jimmy Failla, a guy who sounds like he gets paid in Tide Pods and tequila. Okay, I'm now the voice of reason in the media.
I got a bad feeling about this.
The show that leaves you without hope or change.
I'm telling you, man, this stuff will poison your mind.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Here is Bill Barr, old favorite of the crowd. He was on America's Newsroom this morning with Bill and Dana, giving you a pretty similar summation to the one I just gave you about this case in terms of the legal ramifications. Clip 8.
I've said from the beginning, this case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try to come up with this case. It's also, as you say, it's not only far-fetched, they're trying to predicate it on a federal crime, which wasn't prosecuted, and they're wrong about it. This was not a campaign contribution. They're just wrong on the law. But to me, this shows that the real threat to liberty, the real threat to our system, are the excesses of the progressive left. They're perverting the system of justice. And, you know, that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
He knows what he's talking about.
I've told you this before. Okay, you've all seen the scenario where a kid in the backseat of the car doesn't want to share its toy. And it becomes so hellbent and throws such a violent tantrum over sharing its toy that it tears the toy in half and now nobody has a toy. That's where the left is on Trump. They're just so emotional because they manufactured a hysteria that they all bought into. Again, I can take you all the way back. When Trump won the 2016 election, Saturday Night Live, a show that he had hosted twice, including once that year, decided to forego comedy and sing a spiritual with Kate McKinnon playing Hillary Clinton. And they opened the show on Hallelujah, praying that they were all going to live.
That was absolutely dreadful.
And again, this is a manufactured hysteria. They worked with the guy. He was on the show. Do you get it? So they got to this place where their emotions are their facts. That's where you hear terms like, you're living your truth. There's no such thing. There's only the truth. Okay, but they've decided their truth is that Trump poses an existential threat to the country. So they're going to destroy the country in an effort to stop him from doing it first.
Well, that's the dumbest thing I've heard of.
But that's exactly what they're doing. This guy's a threat to democracy. So we'll just wreck it ourselves.
Get out of here and take your mother with you.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. A man headed up to Boston, Massachusetts, May 18th. It's the Schubert Theater. It's a very prestigious venue, and it's a little bit of a road game for me. I grew up a Yankee fan. Of course, I'm not bringing my Yankee jersey to Boston. Oh, my God.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Yeah, I don't need the beating. I mean, come on. I pay enough money on Craigslist to get beat up. But the point is, if you're in the greater Massachusetts area, you want to come hang out with the host of Fox Across America, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Failla. I'm kind of a big deal. When you think about my weight, you know what I'm saying?
That's true. That is true.
But those tickets are on sale. It's foxacrossamerica.com. It's Saturday night, May the 18th. You'll see me. Probably some type of fancy shirt from my overweight figure skater collection. And we're bringing the Fox News Saturday Night camera crew because we're going to be doing some taping for my actual Saturday Night TV show. So if you're in the audience, you might make the show. Well, that is assuming you're in the audience seated with somebody you should be seen with on camera.
This could be a problem.
You know, remember that line in Goodfellas? You know, Friday night was for the gumads. Saturday was for the wives, okay? This is a Saturday show. I am a married man. It is for the wives. And it's the Schubert Theater, Saturday night, May the 18th. Tickets available. FoxAcrossAmerica.com. Moving on. Now that Jimmy's done shamelessly promoting his comedy career, I have to remind people, because I was doing Boston Morning Radio this morning. That's why I brought it up again. It's kind of an away game when you go to Massachusetts as a Republican. You know, the vast majority of the state is liberal. They elected Elizabeth Warren. Remember Elizabeth Warren? So, you know, point being is we're calling this the Rocky IV of stand-up shows. You know, in Rocky IV, Sylvester Stallone shows up to Russia on Christmas Day in his red, white, and blue trunks. And they start off the match by booing him, but by the 10th round, they're cheering for him. They realize he's got a lot of heart. He's on his side. This is the Rocky IV of stand-up gigs because I'm going into a predominantly liberal state, and we're going to try to win over the crowd by the end of the night. Am I saying it's probably going to happen? But I think we're going to get most of the crowd. All right. A good percentage of the crowd will be on our side.
You can't handle the truth.
Well, damn it all the hell, because I'm going anyway. Saturday night, May 18th. Going into Boston. It's the Schubert Theater, Jimmy Fallon, and all that stuff.
Have you ever had a checkup?
Yes. And like Joe Biden, I cannot share the results of that checkup. And do some people do defend Biden? They're like, no, he's sharp as a tack.
If you like Biden so much, name three of his complete sentences.
My thoughts exactly. Moving on for real this time. Okay, so let's have this talk. I'm going to give you some reaction to the Trump jury selection. I gave you Bill Barr telling you it's just a complete absurdity. Okay, this, and I do mean this. Can I actually, you know what I'm going to do? It's my show. My name is on the show. It's not like the Jimmy Fallon show, but it's something with Jimmy Fallon because, you know, when they launched this, they weren't sure it was going to last very long. You can't fault them for that. So it could become like Fox Across America with, you know, Bob. You know what I'm saying? I guess it's fine. But as the guy doing most of the talking on the program, I'm going to take the liberty to replay a clip. That's what we're going to do. I'm the fat kid in the schoolyard who brought the football. My rules. Here's Bill Barr one more time, clip 8.
I've said from the beginning, this case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years after he pays hush money to try to come up with this case. It's also, as you say, it's not only far-fetched, they're trying to predicate it on a federal crime, which wasn't prosecuted, and they're wrong about it. This was not a campaign contribution. They're just wrong on the law. But to me, this shows that the real threat to liberty, the real threat to our system, are the excesses of the progressive left. They're perverting the system of justice, and you know that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
Okay, and he's telling you the truth. They're really putting the country in a bad spot because they are imperiling our belief in the integrity of the justice system. When Bill Barr says, okay, this is 7 years after he paid the hush money case. That means it could have been brought in any one of those years. Okay, but it's being brought in this year for a very specific reason.
This is politics as usual.
Okay, but means half of the country at a bare minimum is going to lose faith in the justice system because of this case. And that's assuming that they can find impartial jurors, which is a little bit of a challenge because here in New York, you got to understand, New York watches TV shows like The View.
The View was awful.
Do you remember last week when Sonny Hostin tried to blame climate change for the eclipse that everyone knew was coming for the past 20 years? That was Sonny Hostin. She tried to blame climate change. I mean, Sonny.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
This is the same show where Whoopi Goldberg recommended Jill Biden for Surgeon General despite the fact that she's not an actual doctor.
Dr. Jill becomes a surgeon general. His wife.
Joe Biden's wife,
because she's, you know, he would never do it, but she, yeah, she's a hell of a doctor. She's an amazing doctor.
She's a doctor and PhD. Yeah, I don't know.
I could be wrong. I think she's a teacher,
but.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
But you understand, when she recommended Jill Biden, people started to clap. That's who's watching The View. That's who lives in my city. Idiots. People whose emotions are their facts. I'm here because I was born here. I was born in a different New York. My family's here. My job's here. I grew up believing, I really did, I grew up believing that everybody in the country was jealous because they didn't live in New York.
Are you stupid or something?
But I didn't know that until I traveled the country. Okay, when you go to the flyover states, you realize the quality of life is exponentially better. You know, things don't cost as much. So your money goes a lot further. Property taxes aren't nearly as high. Okay, you're not going to walk out of your door in Helena, Montana and see some pantless hobbit fondling himself. You know, get on the subway platform in the morning. You're listening to your favorite song. You're all fired up to conquer the world. And you walk off the one train and find out that somebody turned it into the number two train on the platform. Dude, this happens to me all the time in this city. It's like demoralizing. But anyway, okay, when I started to travel the country, I was like, oh, they're having a really good time. And you really come to realize that the flyover states are not sitting around daydreaming about being in New York where they need seven roommates to afford a studio apartment. But the people who live here, in order to justify the bad decisions that they make, like, no, this is good that I'm 42 years old and I have six roommates to pay for a one-bed studio apartment. No, this is a good thing. You see, the rest of the country is stupid. That's what New York runs on. It runs on a moral superiority. Self-hating white liberal elites. That's who populates New York. That's who watches The View. That's who roots against Trump with all the fiber in their being. They spend all day hating him and his voters so they don't have to look inward at the things they hate about themselves.
I'm telling you, that boy's a genius.
Not a genius. I'm just surrounded by it. I see it every day. These people hate you. They hate Trump all day. But they hate themselves the most. So when MSNBC shuts off at the end of the day, they run upstairs, fill up the bathtub, stick their head in, and scream. Ah! That's most of this. But understand, I'm going to give you a Sunny Hostin clip. And she goes from saying, it's not going to be a problem to find impartial jurors. And then she starts freaking out that some Trump fan is going to sneak onto the jury. They're all over the map. CNN's worried about the jurors' safety. Okay, but nobody's worried about the rule of law because their emotions are their facts. When you manufacture a hysteria and you run on a moral superiority like we know better than these people, okay, they completely disregard the clip I just played you from Bill Barr. Bill Barr telling you the case is an abomination. Bill Barr is someone Donald Trump hates. Well, hates him, okay? They don't speak. Bill Barr flat out said on this show, okay, despite the differences, he would vote for Trump for one reason. Okay, he said electing Donald Trump again is like playing Russian roulette with the country. That's what Bill Barr said about Donald Trump.
This guy will say anything.
But he's being honest. That's his opinion. He said electing Donald Trump again is like playing Russian roulette with the country. He said electing Joe Biden is like flat out committing suicide.
I agree with that.
I don't know that he does. But the point, he probably, actually probably does at his core. But the reality is when Bill Barr tells you the case is an abomination, it's not because he's running the Donald Trump defense fund. He didn't like Trump. Trump doesn't like him. Okay, but when it comes to the rule of law, he has a great degree of respect, okay, and values the integrity of our justice system because he realizes we don't have a justice system if no one believes in its legitimacy. But no one's prioritizing that. They're just fantasizing about outcomes and sensationalizing the selection process. So let's start with this Sonny Hostin clip. Two quick ones from The View. Clip 9.
This is a legal nerd's Super Bowl, right? Like, I'm kind of excited about this.
That's the part I need to do.
But that's exciting to someone like me because, you know, the 50 people said, I can't even be impartial, which I admire them for their forthrightness and their honesty because you have to be honest when you're a juror. But I still believe that they will be able to find an impartial jury. They are never going to find someone that doesn't know about the former twice impeached loser president, yeah. Right? They're never going to find that.
I mean, good gosh. They just...
Shut up! Will you shut up?
But do you understand when she says, the twice impeached loser president, the twice...
What an idiot.
Okay, and you know what both of those impeachments have in common? They failed. Meaning they shouldn't have been brought in the first place. Okay, but getting past that, she is the juror pool. That's who watches The View. That's the level of analysis aimed at Donald Trump day in and day out on The View. Okay, The View, which has been on TV here in New York for 20 years. The View, which has an audience that represents the mindset of the juror pool. But here is Sonny Hostin saying it's important to make sure some Trump fan doesn't sneak on the jury. No, we wouldn't want somebody listening to the facts. Come on. Clip 10.
But what I did find also interesting about my Super Bowl is that the legal teams will be checking the jurors' social media profiles to see if they can assess the truthfulness and intention of what they said during voir dire, which is their questioning. And I think that's really, really important, because if you start liking Trump's and you follow Trump's stuff on social media, can you be impartial? I don't really think so. And I think you get one person that sneaks onto that jury with untoward feelings, that person can hang that jury.
How do you sneak onto a jury? You have to be called.
Well, you lie. You lie. You say, yeah, that's I hate Trump. But I can be impartial, and I this than that, and then all of a sudden, that's the person.
Yeah, well, they're going to find a jury of his peers. How many bloated orange psychos out there? Yeah.
And they laugh, because of course they laugh.
The View is awful.
It really is. Highest rated show in Guantanamo Bay. You can't waterboard people anymore, you know. So you're like, you confess or we'll put on The View.
No, God!
They just tell you whatever you want to know. But understand, okay, they're really concerned, you know, about a Trump fan getting on the jury, just the same as, you know, you hear her say, well, it's not important if someone liberal gets on the jury. Okay, they don't care about that. They don't care about the fact that this case is taking place in a town that's 97% liberal. It's 96-97% liberal on the island of Manhattan. They're not worried, okay, that we might have somebody who just runs on hating Trump and is an automatic out, you know, for the prosecution, because this isn't about the integrity of the trial. They have a predetermined outcome in their heads. That's why this case was brought in the first place. Here's CNN telling you she's worried about the juror safety. Watch this, clip 11.
I imagine it's somewhat surreal. Right, to be selected. I am wondering if some of them are a little unhappy with the amount of information that is being made public about them. Now, this is not the fault of the media. I want to be very clear about this. Responsibility to guard all of this very specific information that we're learning resides with the DA's office and with the judge. I'm a little surprised that we are learning all of this, because I do not think this jury is going to remain anonymous necessarily if they keep this up.
You're worried about their safety?
Yeah, I'm worried about their safety. I mean, it's up to them if they want to write a book after all this is said and done, but that's their option. They shouldn't be out of this way. They're not supposed to be out of this way.
Okay, and the implication he's trying to make is I'm worried about their safety because, you know, those right-wing Trumpers, they're going to come kill everybody. That's what they're going with. And I'm certainly not, you know, downplaying the political tensions we're living in this moment. But what I'm trying to explain to everybody listening, whether you're Republican or Democrat or anything in between, is that this is a very teachable moment. Okay, this trial was brought for a specific reason. It's not because they need a conviction in the court of law. It's because they need a conviction in the court of public opinion.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
But that's what this is, because they can convict him every day in the court of public opinion. That's like the Russian collusion narrative. They knew he didn't collude with Russia, because the whole thing was based on opposition research bought and paid for by the Clinton campaign. Everyone who got on TV and told you Russia colluded with Trump, every single person, they knew at the time they were doing it he didn't collude with Trump. So the point of the Mueller probe was not to convict him in the court of law. It was to convict him in the court of public opinion. If every single day they could get on TV and be like, the walls are closing in. Oh, the kids are going to flip. He's going to take a perp walk right outside the White House, everybody.
People aren't buying it, CNN, you dumb bastards.
But if you beat it into their skulls every day for 3 years, there's now a significant percentage of society that still believes he colluded with Russia.
It was made up by these sick people.
Just the same as this trial is not going to convict him. It's a farce. Every legal scholar on the planet who's giving you an objective take is like, you can't even bring the case. But if they can sit here on TV every day and go, oh, he's going to kill the jurors. Oh, it's MAGA undermining the justice system. They don't care that they're destroying faith in the justice system. Okay, because if they did, they wouldn't have brought the case in the first place. Their job is to sit here every day and tell you just how guilty he is. So we have enough people who live in a world where their emotions are their facts. Again, it's my truth that he's guilty. Maybe they didn't convict him because, like, white supremacy or January 6th or something. But my truth says he did it, so I'm voting for Biden. That's how it works.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
The critics have spoken.
It's a mess. It's a mess.
This is Fox Across America.
There it is, Fox Across America. Jimmy Fallon. We got Kennedy coming up. We got Chip Roy coming. I mean, you talk about an embarrassment of radio riches. A hell of a Wednesday. You know what's going on Fox News Saturday night this week? I'm not even kidding. We had such a sick lineup last week. Such a sick lineup. But they bumped us. They bumped our show because I...
Why do you do things like that? You're like a crazy person.
No. They were not crazy. They properly bumped our show because the Iran, you know... exchange. They launched all those missiles towards Israel in real time, and that's war. That's gravity. We're trying to, you know, provide you with a 1 hour escape from that every Saturday night. But when actual war breaks out, there's nothing we can do. You know, we're on the biggest news channel in the world. So I have, you know, no objections whatsoever. Believe me, people are getting bombed. I'm not complaining, but because we liked the lineup so much, we are bringing back the exact same lineup we planned to shoot with last week. So Danny Boy O'Connor from House of Pain is on the show this Saturday. That's a real thing. Okay, Caesar Milan, the dog whisperer, now gets his crack. He has to train Bixby, the dog. That matters. Okay, we're also bringing back Brian Brenberg.
That was the worst thing I ever heard.
No, he's going to be great. Kenny Krantz is there. Christina Hutchinson's there. And you better be there. It's going to be nuts. And so is the next hour of this show. We're going to do better, I promise. But we can't do worse. Kennedy will bat lead off at the tippy top of the hour after this on Fox Across America.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, yes, it is. And I tell you all the time on this show, you have the highest security clearance anywhere in media. I tell you everything about me, my family. I tell you about my cat. My cat died this week. But here we are at the tippy top of the hour with another rescue in studio.
Meow.
The host of the Kennedy Saves the World podcast. She has just gotten off the couch on Outnumbered, and she is here to set the world straight. The K-Train joins us yet again. Hey, girl.
Meow.
We should do the whole interview.
So someone on Twitter was like, I bet Kennedy hated your cat when you posted a lovely eulogy about
Daisy.
The cat. And Daisy, you know, and you said, if you don't like cats, you never met Daisy.
Yeah.
I never really met Daisy because Daisy was the shy cat.
Yeah, she didn't come around.
Elvis
was the cat.
Elvis was Charo. Mm-hmm. Elvis was the cruise director, the activities director. Elvis was the one in charge.
Yeah, so. he was like, if you went to a square dance, he was the guy yelling do-si-do.
Elvis... like, gave my daughter, who is allergic to cats, such fits that Jenny had to keep special allergy medication for my daughter because she loved that cat so much that she ended up leaving your house looking like Sloth from Goonies.
Hey, you guys.
Because her face was so misshapen from being, you know, things swollen shut and... redness and just general misery, but she didn't care because she wanted to do was hold that damn cat.
She wanted to be around the cat.
And Daisy, you know, was a little bit more shy.
Well, this is what happened. Once we bumped off Elvis, Okay. The bookies want their money. There's no, you know, there's no way around it. They're going to collect one way or the
other.
They're
going to break a paw. They're going to do something.
You know, once we bumped off Elvis, what happened to Daisy in like the last few years is she became a lot more outgoing because she was like the only cat. So she was like, oh, I run this place now. You
it's
know
like
what
my
saying?
Younger daughter when my older daughter went to college.
Yes, exactly. And that's what happened. So, you know, she was dressing more risque. She was, you know, she really came into her own. But there went Daisy the cat. And people need to, listen, people love their pets. They've sent me a lot of emotional and supportive messages. But, you know, at the end of the day, she was still good eating. You know what I mean? You say what you want about that crock pot, you know, but we got past the arthritis.
Oh, you're going to eat gator, but now you have a problem with cats?
You're judging me?
Yeah.
I'm kidding, everybody. Don't at me. I can't believe you ate your cat. I didn't eat my cat.
Would you shut up? To a nice beef broth and some rice noodles. It's quite delicious.
You get right past the arthritis.
That's not right.
Even Kevin Meaney's upset now. They say we have Meanie is calling into the show. He's not going to take it.
Why do you do things like that? You're like a crazy person.
We're just hungry in exactly our big pants. But Kennedy is here, and we're not just here to eulogize my cat. Mm-hmm. My cat will be fine. Not listen, 19 climate-controlled years for a cat that was born on a farm under a tractor.
That's a lot of years.
Do you know what the over-under on Daisy's life in Vegas was the day she was born on a farm? Probably a year. 9 months.
If that, yeah.
Nine
I would have taken the under.
Yeah, the sharps were on the under. There was a lot of money. A lot of guys in fedoras going to the window the day Daisy was born. And they're like, yeah, this chick doesn't have 9 months.
No.
You know what I mean? So fact that she got 19, as the late, great Warner Wolf used to say, you know, if you bet Daisy in the over, you won. You know, or he used to go, you lost. Funny story about Warner Wolf. We move on. One night I was at the Ha Comedy Club. Grant Cooper was the MC. He noticed Warner Wolf, the legendary sportscaster, in the audience.
Wow.
And he goes, wow, hey, it's Warner Wolf, everybody. And like two guys clapped, and to his credit, Warner Wolf goes, yeah, it's about what I usually get.
That's funny.
Let's go to the videotape. So you get off the outnumbered couch as we move on and do some adulting. A couple of things jumped out at me. I didn't read the story. I just saw the chyron. Denver, is this true? They're cutting some police budget to accommodate the migrant excess?
Police and fire. And actually, the mayor of Denver... And I, full disclosure, it is my best friend's brother-in-law.
Stop it!
Yes. Hey, Mike, what's up,
bro? Okay.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
Great family.
Mm-hmm.
The Johnstons are a lovely, lovely family,
mm-hmm.
and I'm happy to know them. Mm-hmm. His policies are garbage.
They're garbage.
Absolutely awful. And, you know, he's trying to be liked. He's trying to prove that he's a good, well-meaning liberal. He calls the influx of migrants, he refers to them as newcomers.
Oh, God.
You know, which
is dreadful.
It's just sweet as pie. Unfortunately, government resources only stretch so far.
Yeah.
And something's got to give. And liberals are never going to give on things like pensions, which they have promised to their hardworking union base in order to keep their support going for a few more decades. So they're going to cut new cops.
Is that crazy?
Denver is a place that has enjoyed surging crime for the last 4 years.
That's
and
bad.
It's gone down a little bit since 2022, but they have some of the highest property crime and violent crime rates in the country. And as does Colorado as a whole, you know, the state used to be seen as a political success story, but now it's really gone in the opposite direction. And Mayor Mike Johnston isn't going to stem the tide with these policies.
That is crazy. Kennedy is in studio. We're having a grown-up talk for once. I always wonder in these situations where cities are literally cannibalizing themselves, you know, when it talks to business and crime and everything in between, do they not know? Do they not care? Like, I know there's a part of this that politics have become so tribal that it's more important to beat the other side in a lot of cases than it is to actually create some type of a greater good momentum forward. But is that what this is, or do they not see the end result? Do they, you know, is it a forest through the trees thing?
I don't know. I mean, I would hate to think, I would hate to be so calloused as to think that they just want people, they want the influx for Democrat voters. I really hope that's not the case.
Yeah.
And also, as we're seeing with President Biden, he is hemorrhaging Hispanic voters.
Mm-hmm.
And because if you've been here, and you've worked hard to get here, and you've started a business, and you've had kids, and you've put your kids through college, and you're seeing migrants, you know, take their opportunities away,
yeah.
it's kind of frustrating.
Definitely.
So, and you know, people who have immigrated to this country, they are harder on politicians in terms of immigration than anyone else because they've been through the process. Yeah. The process was difficult for them. It's broken now.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't favor the people who followed the rules and waited in line.
That's a great point. And there's that resentment because no matter how many times Jill Biden goes to the Bogota, but that's not the bonding they're after.
Yeah.
That's where it's really weird. Like the politics of recognition used to work. Like you could actually show up and be like, hey, I'm playing a song you listen to. Vote for me.
Yeah.
And somehow that was like a deliverable.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're there anymore because I think there's been like such a precipitous quality of life decline that people are like thinking beyond the immediate emotion of that.
And they don't have the pandemic to blame anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they can't say, oh, yeah, we don't have baby food. We don't have formula on the shelves because supply chain issues totally out of our control.
Yeah.
That was the pandemic. It's like, well, the pandemic is, you know, we're 4 years removed from the beginning of the pandemic. You can't blame that anymore. Maybe it's just your bad, awful, big government policies that, you know, combined with high tax rates and high crime, it kind of sucks. Like, it's a bad environment.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, New York right now, definitely going through a behind the music phase. I was driving around the other night with Dog the Bounty Hunter, which, by the way,
amazing.
If ever
I cannot wait to see this.
If ever there was a dude who like wouldn't be offended by the conversations you and me have, because I got like me and him got really street. My guess is 3% of it's arable because like we really got street. Like he got in and he was like, I got to tell you, he's like, cab drivers are where I would get all my dirt on perps.
Interesting.
Because like, they know things.
Yeah.
So we got right into it. I drove him through some cabbie spots and stuff like that. But what was amazing about it is when I was driving in a different city. What I mean by that is there were like three vice spots that mattered. Now there's like 62.
Oof.
You know what I mean? It's like you could be doing a double decker tour, like to the, you know, the stars' homes.
Mm-hmm.
In Hollywood now, it's like tours of the tents. You go to the stars' tents. But we really got street. But as I was driving around, like I almost felt like a weird survivor's guilt because I drove in a different New York. Mm-hmm. Like it's definitely turned. I mean, do you not feel it when you're going anywhere?
I mean, I'm skeptical of Uber drivers.
Yeah, that's weird.
You know, it's like my family came over last night and they came in from the airport and their Uber, like they were scared of the Uber driver. And they got out. My brother's like, everyone wash your hands right now.
You want to laugh? So I'll give you this. Me, Jenny, and Lincoln get back from Huntsville on Sunday and we got a lift from Manhattan, from LaGuardia. There was a group text going the whole ride about the last time this man may have showered and what he has eaten between now and then. And it was like the worst. Like I was close enough to getting out and walking on the Grand Central. Yeah. Like it was that bad.
So, but remember Giuliani had the cab passenger's bill of rights?
Yes.
That does not exist anymore. And
no.
And Uber is a private company. Like they can do that. The government cannot say, you're stinky. Go take a shower.
Yeah, Uber could
but
do
Uber
that.
Can be like, bro.
But they ain't doing that because that's the other problem. It would look like it's all billed as some type of discriminatory measure. But that's not obviously what it is. And they spin it the other way. They're like, well, this guy's brave because he stands up to the pressure to use soap. Everyone in the patriarchy used soap, you know, and now you got a smelly guy.
Yeah, you're Islamophobic. Can I get back to Dog?
Yeah,
very
of course.
Quickly? This is one of the most amazing things about Dog the Bounty Hunter. 2 years ago, I was hosting Freedom Fest in Las Vegas. Dog was supposed to be one of our featured speakers. Everyone was really excited about it because, you know, he's an icon. I was on Hollywood Squares with him.
Wow.
You know, he's been part of our cultural pantheon for quite some time. So he had a stroke.
Oh, wow.
They rushed him to the hospital. I had to go out on stage and deliver, you know, the very solemn news, you know, please thoughts and prayers for our beloved Dog the Bounty Hunter. He's just had a massive stroke and he's in an ambulance on the way to the hospital. We didn't know if he was going to pull through. The next day I saw him at the pool with his wife and I'm like, you're freaking amazing. Like there was he was fine.
Yeah.
Like he's Dog the freaking Bounty Hunter.
Yeah. You don't want to play Marco Polo with him.
He's gonna catch you.
He's gonna catch you. Just by the way the water ripples.
Yeah.
I asked him
that. He's blindfolded. He's, you know, he put rubbing alcohol in his eyes so he couldn't see.
I asked him the other night, I'm like, were you like a prodigy at hide and seek as a little kid? Were you like, he's like, he told me, he had ruined a lot of like children's birthday parties because everybody was always it. But isn't that funny? Kennedy is in studio. We're covering all the bases. That's what we do on the show. It's Wednesday. The world's on fire. We're just roasting radio marshmallows. It's funny that You know, when you talk about a dude like that and you talk about being the part of the fabric of America, we've stayed consistent on him. What I mean by that is we know who he is. Okay, he's got a massive amount of support. And I'm only bringing this up because there's this manufactured hysteria thing going on with Trump. Me and you don't run the Donald Trump Radio Defense Fund. We're just, you know, I think to our credit, we're trying to give people politics through the lens of second gear, which is like, think what you want. We're not going to eject you from the car. Yeah. You know what I mean? You might not want to drive around and listen to our music, but we're not going to eject you. No. You dig? But there's this manufactured hysteria thing going on right now where it's like Trump, not that he was hunting people like dog, but he was in the fabric of society for 40 years. He's always crass. He's always bombastic, you know, given to exaggeration on a comical level. But I don't think we were ever consuming him with even 1% of the country thinking he was Hitler. You know what I'm saying? But we've definitely manufactured a vibe now that it's weird. It's almost like it's performative. Like if you're following the jury selection process, and I feel like I'm watching performance art. I don't know what your take is.
It's I don't know how they are coming to any agreement about this jury.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Because, you know, at some point they're just going to get stuck with who they're stuck with if they excuse too many people. And, you know, but they are able to go through their social media. And there are people who are coming in who are just trying to torpedo the former president.
Yeah.
And they say, no, I don't have feelings either way. It's like, well, why did you put on Facebook, get him and lock him up? But, you know, it's like, that's a problem. Like, you obviously have feelings about
I hope this illegitimate president dies in jail. Yeah. No, I'm good. I'll be on the jury. This is good.
Well, I've never even heard of him. I think I might have skated in the ice rink in Central Park, but.
And you don't understand, like, people listening around the country, there's no overstating just how committed some people are to, like, a Trump-hating lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And I grew up in a version of New York that was just like it was a Trump indifferent lifestyle. Mm-hmm. We weren't like hanging on every word. I didn't watch Celebrity Apprentice, but I also wasn't one of those people. But that's most of what they're pulling from right now. So I don't think he gets a legit. I don't see how he could get a legit trial.
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that. But that's also why if he winds up getting convicted in this case, I don't think it's going to move the needle. Like if the indictment didn't, do you think the conviction would?
Yeah, I think actually a conviction does something different than the indictment. I think the former president wants as many indictments as possible.
Yeah.
Because the more he's indicted, the more he shoots up in the polls.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do think that a conviction changes things for people.
Okay.
Because it formalizes something.
Uh-huh.
Whereas everything else is just sort of gossip and conjecture.
Yeah.
But there's a finality to conviction that could move the needle for the very few people who are either undecided or sitting on the fence. I don't know who those people are because everyone, you know, it's like the jello mold is set.
Well, that's
for most people's politics.
Well, that's what I think would be so revealing is if he does get a conviction, okay, and it doesn't move, that means we're just in like a electoral civil war.
Yes.
Where we just hate each other. It doesn't matter now.
But people are sick of that.
Yeah,
like
I know.
People honestly, truly, if you look at Bill Maher, Maher was a progressive 2 years ago.
Yeah, totally.
Like Bill Maher was a big government socialist.
Mm-hmm.
And now he realizes that that doesn't play. And it's actually very basic.
Yeah.
So he is swinging in the complete opposite direction.
Mm-hmm.
John Stewart, to some degree, you know, his critiques of Joe Biden have not landed well with the left.
Yeah, they're not happy. It's just a fascinating time to be. But that's one of the reasons I consider us the best.
One of many. One of like 1,000 reasons.
Yes. And don't worry about the cough. And everyone knows you have monkeypox.
I really, you know, it's like.
I'll tell you.
Went to the bathhouse because I thought it was a spa. And I was looking for a nice oatmeal body scrub with some avocado oil rubbed into my calluses.
Listen.
Did I know.
As long as it's cleared up by Fleet Week, we're all going to be fine. The great Kennedy.
You're telling me.
There she goes.
Count down the days.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
The show that's standing up to big tech.
Get those nerds!
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 You're listening to Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America. Listen to this Maggie Haberman clip. It's absurd. Clip 14.
I noticed it. He
made a pretty specific stare at me and walked out of the room.
I've been on the receiving end of said glares.
I know you have. I have too. I reported earlier that he had appeared to fall asleep. Now, we had seen him, and I want to be clear that I've seen lots of people fall asleep in courtrooms. I've seen jurors fall asleep. I've seen judges fall asleep. If anyone falls asleep who's a criminal defendant in a case, we're going to report on it. But he doesn't like when such things are reported, and I'm guessing, I don't know, that that's what this was about. I think that having to sit there and be captive while we all report on him is going to be deeply uncomfortable for him because he is somebody who likes to control things.
I mean, dude.
They're crazy.
This is every second of this trial right now. Okay, wall to wall. You know, I'm like, he's stared at me. He's going to get me. You know, it's all that stupid stuff. It's like a manufactured hysteria. But the purpose of this trial is being served. They're not going to convict Trump. Okay, it's not. He's not going to jail. I'm telling you this now. It's about the day-to-day value. The content is worth more to them than the verdict. The Mueller probe allowed them to get on TV every day for 3 years and say that Trump colluded with Russia.
Wrong.
Think about that. When they tell you that the right-wing conspiracy guys, yo, their conspiracy was that the Kremlin controlled the White House. Like, that's beyond a movie. You know what I'm saying? They a plot where the guy in the White House now is being controlled by the guy in Russia. Like, that is so beyond any level of weed I could ever allow you to smoke. In terms of the insanity, that's an Austin Powers movie. Dr. Evil controls America, I'm telling you.
You shut your mouth, you bastard.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. If you're hip to like social media parlance, they consider tomorrow to be Throwback Thursday. But this next guest, a bit of a throwback in that he is an elected official of the United States government who's actually putting our government first. It's kind of an old school thing, but hear him out. I know you don't hear a lot of this, but Representative Chip Roy back on the show to make that case. Hey, man.
Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Good, but you are. It's like I'm seeing, like, you know, when you go to the, you see like a rare species in the wild. An America First politician in Congress right now is not a ton of you, man.
You know, there's more than you think. It's just, unfortunately, we don't have the majority yet, so yep. We're kind of working on it. But you're not wrong. Look, there's just sort of a default position of everybody in this town to do what they've always done and to bow down to whoever's coming at them with the scare tactics, right? Mm-hmm. Someone's going to die. Something bad's going to happen. So you must spend a bunch of money we don't have and then take that money and give it to foreign governments rather than defending America.
Imagine that, you know, that whole, and that's the part that drives, I think, the average American so crazy in this moment is, you know, as important as it is to support allies and stuff like that on the world stage, we feel like we're doing it at the expense. Like, it's not a walk and chew gum moment. Unfortunately, a lot of people can't afford the gum because the core price index went up pretty high. So, I mean, maybe is there a world out there where we can do both? Because I think that would be an easier sale.
Well, look, I mean, that was everything. I spent 4 hours last night in the speaker's office, and we were all working to try to achieve a path forward. I believe that we should stand alongside Israel. Mm-hmm. I was trying to get to a place where we could put a Israel-only bill on the floor and then have a debate about pay for, and then have a debate over Ukraine and the border. Mm-hmm. And I was willing to put anything on the table to think through it, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's not the path that's been chosen. They're going to jam us with a $95 billion, hear that again,
what?
$95 billion package of money going overseas to Ukraine, to Israel, to Taiwan. Mm-hmm. Some of that money will get to Hamas. Some of that money will go to soft spending in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And all of that is going to not do a damn thing about the border.
That's what I was going to say. And that's, I think, the part that drives everybody so crazy is if you're going to spend at a record level, you know, you'd like at least to know some of it was going to wind up where we needed to go. You know, they always, you hear this phrase a lot in politics where they're like, oh, Washington, they're spending like a drunken sailor. But the drunken sailor eventually passes out in the back of a cab and loses his wallet. And the spending does stop at some point. It's these sailors kind of have like a printing press where it just never stops, does it?
No, that's right. I mean, look, you know, just today, Bret Baier reported that so far this year in fiscal 24, they're not even 6 months in, we have had, or a little over 6 months in, we've had 24,300 Chinese nationals, 85% of whom are adult, single adults, have come into our country. Mm-hmm. Now, that's more than all of FY23, where we had about 24,000. And get this. In FY 20 or 21, mm-hmm. we had like 380. Sheesh. That's what's changed. The whole world is exploiting our borders, and these jackasses want to give $85 billion to overseas countries.
Yeah.
While our borders are wide open, and Lake and Riley's dead, yep. and people in Texas are taking it on the chin. It's unconscionable that Republicans would do that.
Yeah, and that's the part that drives me crazy. We're talking to Representative Chip Roy from the 21st Congressional District of Texas. Is there's this really, like, it's almost like an indifference to what's going on here right now, because it's preventable. You know, we created this humanitarian crisis through executive order. Do you think the reason Biden doesn't ultimately want to sign another executive order, because it's kind of an admission of guilt over what's actually happening?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think he gets the joke, right? He knows what the situation is at the border. He's been willing to ride that out. They're going to keep kind of tightening it down. They can do a lot of it without executive order.
Okay.
So the numbers have dropped from the 10 to 12,000 in December. They're now like 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 a day. You know, you had about 190,000 southern border, about 250,000 total last month. He's going to shrink those numbers heading to the election so he can try to at least, you know, we're starting to have some success and we're working on it, blah, 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 in order to be politically in a better spot. The fact is, they have no desire to secure the border. If they did, they could.
Yeah.
The fact that they're saying that they're not is just giving up the game. You know, I mean, yeah. Alejandro Mayorkas was here, and I think he testified. Somebody told me he testified yesterday that, there was nothing we could have done about the guy on the ICE detainer who killed Lake and Riley.
Yeah.
That's just complete bullshit.
Yep, 100%. And that's, and again, most people do see through that at this point. They were getting away with this for a while because they were trying to call this like a manufactured Republican talking point. But now that the sanctuary cities are actually being forced to accommodate migrants, you know, at least some people are getting hip to what's going on. But the reality is it's not even America first. Like, America is not even making the medal podium right now. We were just reporting on a story where Denver is cutting their police budget by $8 million to accommodate migrant services. That shouldn't matter what political party you belong to. As a taxpaying citizen of this country, you'd like to think you're making the medal podium as a priority. But could you, and it's not saying because of anything you're doing, but could you look the American taxpayer in the eye and say that this is an administration that considers them a top three priority?
Well, you had 1,000, people or whatever, migrants marching in the streets in New York City saying, hey, why are you kicking us out of our fancy hotels and putting us in a shelter?
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're dealing with here in terms of the expectation.
Yeah.
And you know, the fact is, like, let me just pause for a second and go back. I don't know how old you are. I'm 51.
I
came of age in Reagan, the 80s, 90s, was in college. And I'm just thinking back to myself, like, you know, Olympics in 96 and just life. And we had a country. We had a country where we had the rule of law.
Yeah.
We had a country where you could just basically accept that your sovereign nation would be protected no matter who was in the office, Bill Clinton, George Bush, whatever. And that certain rules were just the rules. But when you throw all those rules out the door, like, I would love to go back and be sitting there without an iPhone in my hand, drinking a cold beer in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Wouldn't you?
When I was in college,
man.
And listening to some Dave Matthews, man.
It just,
you know, but I want that. I'm saying this for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, I want that for our kids.
Yeah.
I want that for this generation to be able to believe in America and believe that you can be free and go, you know, enjoy your life and then go out and then be productive and do all the great things you can do as Americans. But We're making our kids depressed.
Yep.
We're destroying everything about their belief in their own country.
Mm-hmm.
And then now we're going to go send another $100 billion overseas because the defense world wants to scare us that the whole world's going to blow up.
Yep.
If we don't. And by the way, I'm sympathetic to wanting to help Israel. Mm-hmm. I'm a very big proponent of helping Israel, and I'm sympathetic to Ukraine not getting marched over by Putin. Mm-hmm. But we just gave them $113 billion, and they say, well, we're having ammo problems. Well, what the hell did you do with that $113 billion over the last 2 years?
And you don't get an accounting for that. We're talking to Representative Chip Roy. Since you invoked the 96 Olympics, how close did you come to buying the gold cleats that Michael Johnson won all those medals in?
No, I mean, they were right up there with the, you know, the 1980s there, Jordans, right? I mean, yours, my slow white rear end would have been wearing those gold cleats and everybody would have been laughing at me.
I was going to say, I don't picture a lot of gold cleats at the Dave Matthews concert, but I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You would have won some hacky sack. You would have won some hacky sack in those shoes, man.
Yeah, no question.
Crazy talk. Well, listen, the one thing we really appreciate you about you is your candor, man. I mean, when you look at the country right now, everything we're talking about is greater good, meaning we may divide these into Republican issues and Democratic issues, but it doesn't matter what party you're beholden to, the border affects you. It doesn't matter what party you're beholden to, the spending affects you. So when you talk about getting us back to this Reagan era of perspective where there is bigger, you know, civic pride, how do we actually do that? Because I think it would, you know, require a much more honest conversation around the issues than the one we're having.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the $64,000 question I spent a lot of time thinking about, and especially as a father, as a husband. And I think it begins and ends with, you know, restoring a belief in our country. Like, we had difficulties right in the 60s and 70s. Ronald Reagan came in, and he made clear this is a great country. We should be proud of our country. Look, we're going to have our 250th birthday here in 2 years, in 2026. I think we've got to restore a sense of belief in what America is, mm-hmm. what we believe. And importantly, we got to restore the boundaries, the rule of law. We've got to get back to families, communities, civic virtue. You know, again, to some degree, we've got to put these damn devices down.
Yeah.
You know, you got our kids that are sitting there spending 8 hours a day on these ridiculous devices. You want to know why they're depressed?
I know.
Get out. I love this video you see out there on social media. They'll post a video from like 1998. Uh-huh. There's a bunch of kids sitting at a party with like a red Solo cup.
Yeah, yeah.
Listening to some music or just some people hanging out, you know. Or if you look at the Masters, they don't allow devices.
Yeah.
They're all just sitting there, the patrons, talking.
Yep.
They're not zooming in on a picture. They're not, you know, tweeting. They're not putting stuff on, you know, Instagram.
Yep.
They're talking to each other. So we need to restore our community, and we need to restore the rule of law. And we need to restore belief in this great country again.
That's a great point. You know, we'd be making progress if the kids looked at you when they talk to you. Because we've got this generation. My son is 15. He's a lot of friends that don't look up at you when they talk to you because they're from like that other digital form of communication. We got a lot of weird kids right now. It's not good. So I'm amen to that on the cell phone reliance. Last question. Are you watching any baseball?
Yeah, I mean, I've been a little slow the last week because I've been so slammed up here. My son is lamenting the state of the Astros right now, but we also, of course, you know, the Rangers are looking pretty decent. And look, I grew up an Orioles fan. I was a Cal Ripken, Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer guy in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So the Orioles have been, you know, looking pretty decent. But I got to be honest with you, you reminded me I need to check my fantasy team or my son's going to kick my butt. I was actually doing pretty well, but I might have an injury I need. I had Strider as my A pitcher.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, he goes out for the season. So then I was out there scraping for the bottom of the barrel to replace him in my rotation. So we'll see what happens.
Well, you'll be proud as an Orioles fan. Last night, my son Lincoln, you know, he's 15. We went to bed watching Earl Weaver highlights because he likes when Aaron Boone gets ejected from Yankee games. So I'm like, dude, if you enjoy Aaron Boone, you're going to love Earl Weaver. And Earl Weaver's...
Did you pull up the classic one when he lets loose like 112 F-bombs to the umpire?
Dude, he's throwing bases. It's unbelievable. No. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. And then the umpire's like, dude, you only won like, you know, two World Series.
Yeah.
God, what? Eight games or whatever. It was such a great exchange.
It's great, man.
Those were the days, man. Like when we had Billy Martin and Earl Weaver and kicking dirt. Lou Piniella was throwing bases.
Passion.
The dugout.
Passion. And Reagan was president. So there you go.
It was great.
We'll
make America great again. That's how we do it.
Love it. Good stuff. We appreciate you, man. Be well. Representative Chip Roy talking baseball. Me and Lincoln watch Aaron Boone ejection videos. Lincoln loves watching guys get ejected from games. One of his favorites out there is Josh Donaldson. Josh Donaldson is just retired and was a lunatic, played for a bunch of teams, I think most recently left the Yankees, was a Milwaukee Brewer last year, but he retired at the beginning of this season. But Donaldson's played everywhere. The A's, the Braves, I think he was a Blue Jay for a little while. But a little nuts. And he's gotten thrown out of a lot of games, a lot of bat flips and stuff like that. And Lincoln and I always laugh at guys like that. But we went through the gamut of Boone ejections last night and wound up watching a little bit of Earl Weaver. And guys, if you've never seen Earl Weaver montages, best way I can describe it is this. A guy comes out of the dugout and he's like, "Hey, John, how could you, were saying that, you know," that's the whole 8 minutes. "And then you said," that's the whole thing. And it's actually hilarious. But I bring up Earl Weaver because it often reminds me of Chip Roy when I see him going off on the floor. Because Chip Roy is a guy, he is from that era. He said he's, what, 51? I'm 47. If you grew up in that era that I grew up in, there were certain things we agreed on. There was something called common cause. I've played you montages where Bill Clinton is bringing down the House at the 1996 State of the Union, talking about illegal immigration and making a point to say illegal immigration because it's illegal. They're illegal aliens. Now, you say something like that, and the Democrats are like, that's not right. You shouldn't talk about them that way. We need to be compassionate. It's not okay to do that. And it's
country is being destroyed by stupid people, by very stupid people.
For real, because you realize, like, yo, we're fighting the wrong battle. Okay, if they're breaking the law to get into this country, okay, yes, it doesn't mean we don't owe human beings dignity. The language we use should not be the priority if our citizens are dying, okay, if kids are being sex trafficked, okay? And that's why it's hard to be Chip Roy and not feel like Earl Weaver most days when you're on the House floor, because most of the people in Washington are not America first. Okay, they're just not. That's reality. Are they out there? Yeah. This, you know, we talk to guys that really do prioritize a greater good in this country. You hear them on the show. But most of Washington just likes to spend because spending is popular. So you understand, if you're a politician, you're in the reelection business. That's the business you're in, okay? That's how you keep business booming. That's how you get your hands on those stock tips, like those sweet trading tips they're getting in the Pelosi house.
Nancy Pelosi is a total dingbat.
Sure, but you'd take her stock portfolio, her husband's stock portfolio, any day of the week. But the point is, most of the people in Congress need to get reelected because they want to stay on that lobbyist teat. They want to eat those fancy lunches, fancy dinners, get those stock tips. Okay, spending is a popular way to get reelected. If money's flowing into your district and people are happy, then of course they're going to keep you, you know, let's keep this guy around. We're doing well. But the problem is, when you prioritize the type of spending that makes America's domestic interests take a back seat to the things we can get the green light to spend on, you wind up hurting the whole country in the process. That's where we are now. As Chip Roy said, hey, of course you support Israel. Hey, of course you don't want Putin running roughshod over Europe. But at a time when 10 million people are running roughshod over our country, you know, you might want to spend a couple of bucks here too.
That's true. That is true.
The show that sees through the bullshit.
My response is right, you know, and the stripper really likes you.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
There it is. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Trying to hold this country together. The whole hook of our show. We're trying to be a port in the storm. Everybody's just kind of killing each other right now, politically. You're allowed to disagree on this show. We won't, like, chase you out of here. We don't care. You know what I'm going to do when the day is over? Like, today? Like, I'm going to go home and eat something, probably smoke a cigar on my patio, hang out with Jenny and Lincoln. Take it easy. You know what Chip Roy was alluding to earlier? Okay, there's a time in this country, a lot of us grew up in, before the cell phone, before social media, where we had a lot more perspective than we do now. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges we're facing as a people, is everyone is a prisoner of the moment because we're now living in a phone. And the phone is carefully curated to make you feel a specific way so you'll keep staring at it so it can sell you advertising. That's how it works. The reason we're so politically divided now is because our devices are, you know, feeding an algorithm to you that will convince you that there's only one way in the world to feel, and that's the way you feel. And that's what happens. You get the news stories that you're going to agree with. You get the jokes about the content you like, the videos you're more likely to click on. And then everybody walks around with this like staggering self-importance that makes dissent, you know, diversity of thought so offensive. You're like, well, what if I just don't talk to this person anymore? They vote differently than me. And you're like, yeah, but it's like your aunt. You've known her for 35 years. You guys had a lot of fun. Whatever. She's a liberal. Whatever. She's a Republican. I'm not, no, this, I'll never talk to her again. These people just don't get it. It's just a...
What the hell is the world coming to?
And it's so intellectually lazy because people don't understand. Everybody you interact with, like if you walk out the door right now and go run into a cashier, go run into a cabbie, whoever you interact with, you're interacting with the last 5,000 people they've interacted with, their mood, their vibe, their disposition. You know, we're a, you know, a product of our surroundings in a lot of ways. And the thing that's supposed to make us all tolerable to each other is some shared values. And the fact that we're getting away from that is why we're in such a bad spot.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, here we go. Here we go. Big hour coming up. A Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, your home for top shelf radio in a bottom feeding political world. Everybody likes to say America needs to have a conversation. But then the minute the conversation starts, the second somebody disagrees, they're like, well, your wife's a hoe. Okay, and maybe mine is. But the fact remains on this show, in this hour, all voices are welcome. Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, we don't really care on the program.
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
I say this all the time, man. There's one rule on the whole show.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
Straight up. Okay, are we running in the wrong direction? Yeah, 76% of the country thinks the country is headed in the wrong direction.
Biden sucks.
A lot of people feel that way. That doesn't mean the country does. Do you remember when the Lakers had Shaq and Kobe, but they weren't winning playoff series yet? Okay, that's America. We got championship talent. We just need better coaching.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
But the nice thing is if you can't dig it and you think Biden's the man, some people do.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
No, you stop it. You sell it right here, okay? This is not a conservative talk show. It is very much an American talk show.
Freedom!
So be a Republican, be a Democrat, just don't be a bang. We are officially underway. In this hour, interesting stuff going on today. It's Wednesday. We do, you know, shake it up a little bit. You know, some of the stories that you start off the week with on Monday just kind of drag forward, like the Trump trial. We're covering it from afar. We're not like all over it because they're still trying to figure out who the jury is. Okay, that could take 2 weeks at this point because it's hard to find somebody who doesn't have a take on Trump one way or the other. Then there's the small matter that every legitimate legal scholar thinks this case is a farce. So you've got that complicating things. So on Wednesday, rather than sitting here and being like, did you see the face Trump made? Does that mean like Russia's involved? You know, there's a lot of that going on right now. There's a lot of superficial analysis. Look at the way he had his arm resting on the book. Is that like a sign that he's like an issue? You know, it's so stupid. It's like the media covers Trump the way a girl talks about some guy who dumped her. You know, did you see what Donald did? Donald was in court today. Did he say anything about me? Like, what's going on with Donald?
The media is a bunch of losers.
You know, so we could do that. But the problem I have with the Stormy Daniels trial, getting past the fact that it's a legal farce, it's one of those moments that really illustrates the divide in priorities between people in politics, people who cover politics on TV, and you. Okay? When you go to the grocery store, you don't say to yourself, well, you know, paying 25% more for eggs. But if they can just lock Trump up for the way he paid off Stormy Daniels, that'll solve my problems. You're not doing that. You know, you don't look at 10 million people crossing the southern border and go, ah, this is bad. But more importantly, in 2006, Trump slept with a woman, paid her off in 2016. We got to work that out. We got to get to the bottom. Nobody cares. And it's not to say people shouldn't follow the law. It's not to say, you know, we shouldn't all be held accountable. I'm on board with all of that stuff. But you understand, I'm in New York City, okay, where I'm watching women get thrown onto the subway tracks. I'm watching migrant pickpocket gangs roam Times Square. To the point that, by the way, have you noticed on my TV show the last 3 weeks, we haven't filmed any man on the street segments in Times Square? Do you know why that's the case? I told you the story on the air. When they send me out to the streets, I go out with a camera detail. It's plainclothes security. So it's me, okay, a couple of my field producers. There might be another 15 guys. You don't know who the hell they are. I don't know who the hell they are for my safety, but they're out there watching us. We have a perimeter. Well, anyway, in my earpiece, when I was filming Man on the Street segment 3 weeks ago, they gave us the safe word for get the F out of there because people we were interviewing were getting preyed upon by migrant pickpocket gangs that were basically, you know, this is what they do in Times Square right now. It's like you're talking to somebody and you accidentally get bumped into by somebody else. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh my God. And while that's going on, somebody else is pickpocketing you. That's what happens. It's like, it's kind of like a shock and awe move where you get distracted and disoriented and something happens to you quickly and you don't feel the other thing. Sleight of hand, it's like a magic trick. And we haven't been out there a lot lately because it's actually just not safe. So it's like you look at the subway where it's become an actual just an insane asylum because we're not funding mental health anymore. We've legalized every drug known to man, not to mention synthetic weed every 3 feet in this city. We've got a lot of actual zombies right now. Attacking people. Like, you don't know this. You don't ride the subway. You get on the subway, and basically in every other car, okay, in every other car on the subway, there's a train full of commuters playing Don't Come to Me. Don't Come to Me means, oh, there's a crazy guy barking like a dog, getting in people's faces. What the F is wrong with you? Yelling at the air, shadow boxing with nobody. And everybody on the train is like, oh, don't come to me, don't come to me. My stop's two stops away, just don't come to me. And that's everybody. And they're scared. Okay, but are we doing anything about that in this city right now?
The answer would be no.
No, not at all. No, we're trying Donald Trump. Because he paid hush money to some stripper he was shagging. And
I love it when you talk dirty.
Okay, but that's reality. That's what we're doing with the city. We're spending $50 million to prosecute Donald Trump for paying off Stormy Daniels. Two consenting adults made a business deal. And now we're arguing that him paying with his personal finances is somehow a campaign violation. When we all know under the letter of the law that if he used his campaign finances, that actually breaks the law. So the whole thing is a scam. And yes, people in the media want to prioritize it. They want to prioritize it because they think it makes Trump look bad. They think it makes put public pressure on people to vote Democrat. But the divide between people doing really well in the media financially and people struggling under Biden is that the people over at MSNBC have the luxury to ignore everything going wrong. They don't have to care about the border. They got money. Okay, they don't have to care about inflation. They don't care about the rising cost of gas. They don't care that we're spending, as Chip Roy just said, maybe another $150 billion for Ukraine while our own border remains open. The problems don't affect them. They don't care. So they can tell you to vote based on the things they do care about. They do care about making Trump look bad. Okay, Trump doesn't need help looking bad. Trump does plenty of stupid stuff on his own, whether it's in front of a camera or when it's on Truth Social.
This guy will say anything.
No, I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to slander Trump, but I do prioritize an honest conversation. I want to be credible with you, the person who listens to this show. I'm not a shill. I don't care. Okay, but in this moment, you talk about a break from all of it. We're going to be bringing on Jeff Hazen this hour. He made the authorized documentary of the real RFK Jr. Okay? He worked on that with the consent of RFK. And he's building on the success of the previous documentary because he had made a documentary called The Real Anthony Fauci.
Fauci's just pulling stuff out of his butt.
A lot of people feel that way. But all I'm really trying to do is give you a sense of who RFK Jr. is. Okay? There's not a lot of people covering that right now. I don't care if you vote for him. You know, it's not my job. I'm just a talk show host. I don't want to be in charge of our democracy. But I do want these voices to be heard. I do want these characters to be exposed, whether it's in a good way or a bad way. The point is, all I'm asking for is an honest conversation based on the facts. Like, if you looked at a country the way you look at a house, and that's all I know as the head of a household with Jenny, Okay, we started off at the very bottom of the socioeconomic chain. I was a cab driver at first. You know, she had a C-section. She was home with Lincoln till the second she was good to go, and she got out the door and went to work because that's what Jenny does. She's raised in Ohio, the Western Buckeye League. These people have work ethic, self-reliance. You know, she was raised right, so she went to work. But we started from scratch, and all we ever knew was the fundamentals of running a household. Hey, we have X amount of income. We have Y amount of bills. Okay, how do we make this work? How do we do the things we have to do and still hopefully have some room to do the things we want to do? That's how you run a house. That is supposed to be the way you run a country. But we're not running the country in that regard. We're not looking at America like it's a house. X amount of income, Y amount of bills. Right now, we're $34 trillion in debt, which means we're spending well beyond our income. I mean, miles and miles beyond our income. And the two-party system is what's gotten us here. Because in a two-party system, people are so scared to criticize anything going on in their own party because they feel like it'll lend an upper hand to the enemy party.
That's true. That is true.
And that's how you wind up with a status quo spend-a-thon in Washington that gets nothing done except raising our taxes.
Thanks, big government weenuses!
But is the quality of anything actually improving in this country? Air travel, worse. Okay? Gas prices, worse. Groceries, worse. Your border, worse. Your safety, worse. Okay? Your kid's schooling, if he goes to public schools, exponentially worse.
I love the poorly educated.
Everything has gotten worse. That's why I always say, when you're beholden to this business model where the only thing that matters to you is beating the other political party, it doesn't matter who wins, we all lose. I say this at some point every day during the show because I'm trying to make people understand we're just doing it wrong. That's all it is. Does that mean I think RFK Jr. can win the election? No chance. I don't even know if he's going to get on the ballot in all 50 states. I mean, if he ran as a libertarian, he'd have immediate access. I don't know that we're there yet. Okay, but I do know between the two parties right now, okay, you got Mayorkas getting impeached because they've absolutely abandoned their obligation to secure our southern border under this administration. So the Democrats are an embarrassment. The Republicans are trying to bounce Mike Johnson and get another Speaker of the House in there by the end of the week. Can you imagine? Okay, when we handed them back a House majority in the midterms, that we'd be sitting here right now just a few months from an election looking at a third or a fourth or a fifth Speaker, maybe a seventh nominee for Speaker because some of them failed along the way. It's embarrassing. So I'm not telling you to vote third party. But if there ever was a moment for the third party to have a voice in this conversation, it's right now.
I think he's got a point.
So we'll take a quick break, and we'll hear what Jeff Hayes has to say about RFK Jr. when we come back.
You're listening to the best dad on the radio.
Can't believe you forgot my birthday.
You're with Jimmy Failla on Fox Across America.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We are thrilled to talk to this next guest, a superstar documentary filmmaker, producer of The Real RFK Jr. I am talking about Jeff Hayes, who joins us on the show. Hey, man.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, we brought you on the Belle Biv DeVoe like you requested in your rider, so I hope we're cool.
Perfect.
Listen, I'm very familiar with your work. I saw Fahrenheit 9/11, which we loved. The question I wanted to ask you about this specific documentary, which is The Real RFK Jr., is when you cover a guy like RFK, do you get the feeling he's misunderstood? Because I don't feel like I get a characterization out of him from either side that's reflective of what I've read.
Yeah, it's more than misunderstood. He's specifically targeted to be mischaracterized. Mm-hmm. The whole purpose of this film, you know, I don't care who somebody votes for, but it really irks me when they're being misled. And if you got your opinion, if you let it be dictated by the New York Times or mm-hmm. mainstream media, you'd have no clue who this man is.
Yep.
And it's been profoundly unfair.
Yeah, that's the part I think is so fascinating. So in that regard, I think it would be interesting for people to get a feel for who he is, because when you look at the direction the country's in right now, Okay, 76% of the people think we're headed in the wrong direction. 70% of the country didn't want this rematch to happen between Trump and Biden. Now, I think the reality is one of them will probably be the next president. But RFK Jr., if he gets on the ballot, is going to have a lot of upward mobility as well. My question to you is, who did you come away from this thinking he was?
So I've known him for a long time, and I did the film of his book, The Real Anthony Fauci. So I did the documentary of that book.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
And so I spent a lot of time with him there. And then I read his book, American Values. And then a book came out, The Real RFK Jr. And I bought the rights to it to make the documentary about his life. This man has an upbringing that's unlike any other human walking this earth. I mean, everybody knows about, the death of his father when he was 14. Mm-hmm. And then he proceeded to become a heroin addict for 14 years, mm-hmm. very functional. He made it through Harvard and University of Virginia Law School while being a heroin addict.
Wow.
But he now has, 40 plus years of sobriety. But his experience of growing up in Hickory Hill, that was the weekend White House, and with his uncle, the president, when he was 5 years old, and the people that walk through their doors, it's just astounding, mm-hmm. the life they've had that really has prepared him for this moment in time.
Well, I think what you're speaking to, honestly, is like perspective, because you're seeing he's a guy who's gotten to see the government. He's gotten to see America from an angle few people do. And in, the conversations I've heard, it seems like, he's in on the joke that this is a government, whether it's run by the Republicans or the Democrats, that's just fighting a lot of the wrong battles when it comes to the average American. No.
Yeah, he's the only person. And my film doesn't cover any politics.
Yeah.
It's just his story. Doesn't mention Trump. It doesn't mention Biden. But, I was just with Bobby in Dallas day before yesterday, mm-hmm. and he's the only person talking about the real issues, that we've got $34 trillion in debt.
Imagine.
And, and neither Trump nor Biden can really talk about it because they're the ones who created the majority of it. Yep. And it more than every president since George Washington put together.
It's
we really do have to address this. And instead, we're talking about, ridiculous social issues, when we've got really important decisions to make on the economy, on the Ukrainian war, and the fact that people, young people today can't buy a house.
Yeah, it's crazy. No, though, the interest rates right now, what's so crazy is like, when you look at what the banks are offering, you'd actually be better off going to the mafia right now.
that's probably true.
That's crazy.
And this is, it used to be, when I was a kid, you could buy a house with a single income family.
Yeah.
And now a two income family, it's priced out of their reach.
Yeah.
And, so these are the important issues that, I'm excited to see the debate.
Yeah.
and see, he's polling well enough to be included in them.
Yeah, assuming anybody shows up in debates, that's the other problem right now.
I question that.
It's nuts. Okay, but I definitely think people should, take the time to check it out. It's called The Real RFK Jr. Because the best thing we could be having at this point is an informed conversation. So I do think, your attempts to set the record straight on who he is are a valid and needed contribution to our discourse. So I appreciate you giving me a minute of your time. Before I let you go, where can they find the documentary?
Yeah, it's available to watch for free till the end of the month. And just go to the rfkmovie.com, mm-hmm. The rfkmovie.com, and they can see it. And it's really, I made a beautiful film. I'm really proud of this, and I'm excited for people to see it.
Well, I will check it out as well, and we'll follow up with you once I've seen it. And then if you'll humor me, we'll do like a fun Q&A or something on the show.
That sounds wonderful. Thank you.
You're a hero. Great stuff. Jeff Hayes, The Real RFK Jr., the name of the doc. Give it a go. Let's talk about it. Hit me up on Twitter, at Jimmy Fallon. Back after this. It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We're in the home stretch of this show. I gotta be honest, it's been a pretty solid show so far. All right, it's a rough crowd. It's a rough crowd in the control room. not giving any credit to the chant.
You suck, you jackass.
Wow. I see it going there. But anyway, as we rumble on, it's a little bit of an uprising going on over at NPR right now. So we've been following this story from afar. Okay, it's, you know, worth talking about if for no other reason than because your tax dollars, they fund NPR. Okay, NPR, National Public Radio, is funded by all Americans, but do they represent the opinions of all Americans? NPR is 110% liberal. Okay. Yuri Berliner, okay, who was a senior editor at NPR, just announced that he was resigning today. This, of course, coming in response to a 5-day suspension that was handed down yesterday. Why? Because he wrote an op-ed for the Free Press saying that NPR has become a bunch of activists masquerading as journalists. He said, hey, we've essentially lost the public's trust because we are so overwhelmingly liberal. There's 87 Democrats on the board, 0 Republicans. And while he himself is a card-carrying liberal who doesn't like Donald Trump, he feels that having this, you know, entire entity beholden to making Trump and Republicans look bad and prioritizing diversity and woke initiatives above everything else of journalistic standard has put NPR into a position where, you know, more people are, you know, trusting the buffet at a strip club, which I can assure you from what my friends have told me is something you should never, ever, ever do. But stick with me on this. He said what NPR needs to do is focus not on diversity of looks, but diversity of thought, meaning have viewpoints from every political persuasion, because if you are national public radio, the entire nation should be represented in your programming.
I think he's got a point.
Well, for having that point, NPR's response was...
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
They went off on the guy, okay? They said he's suspended, 5 days without pay, and anybody writing an essay about the goings-on at NPR in the future should consider that fatal to their career. So rather than abiding this penalty and, you know, doing the old, the beatings will continue until morale improves, he decided to resign, okay, because he doesn't want to work there anymore. Now, NPR staffers are saying this didn't go far enough. They're calling on the head of NPR, whose tweets are being uncovered, you know, one woke ridiculousness at a time. They're calling on this to go a step further and have a more heavy-handed denunciation of this man's actions. It's not enough that he said we're all liberal, and we are. You need to write something about like January 6th or white supremacy or, I don't know, something that really signifies that we're even more liberal than he says we are. But do you understand what this ultimately means?
Journalism in this country is dead and buried.
Okay, the press used to pretend to be objective. They've always been predominantly liberal. Okay, that was always a known thing. Okay, but they used to pretend with a straight face that they were, you know, covering both sides of the aisle. That's what they would say. And then we knew that wasn't the case. You know, if you watch the Obama presidency, nothing against the guy. But Barack Obama gave $50 billion to Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world.
You cannot be serious!
No, he did that. Some of it traveled over there on cash pallets. And the media cheered him on. They were like, this is great! Way to go, Obama! Okay, and why did they do that? Because Obama and Democratic politicians are treated by the media like they're Buckingham Palace. That's what this all comes down to in a nutshell. Okay, in Buckingham Palace during Queen Elizabeth's reign, the press was reluctant to write a bad word about her because they could be denied access to the palace. Then they don't get the exclusives. Then they don't go to the big soirees. Okay, then they don't have those glossy pullout specials, inserts in the paper. Okay, you don't want to be denied access to a subject of such prominence, so what you do agree to do is sweep it all under the rug. That's what the press has always done for Democratic politicians. Don't ever forget, we were talking about RFK Jr. earlier. There was a time where JFK was banging Marilyn Monroe in the White House. I mean, what a time to be alive. But here's a newsflash, so was RFK. Okay, and was the media reporting on any of it at the time?
The answer would be no.
The answer would be no. They were referred to as Camelot. They swept all of their indiscretions under the rug because they didn't want to be denied access to Camelot. So for the most part, they covered for them. You found out about these stories and all the girlfriends he had in the aftermath. Okay, you understand when it comes to the Biden administration, the media doesn't report on the Hunter Biden laptop being true. They'll admit it 20 paragraphs into an essay like they did at the New York Times. After killing the story in the run-up to the election, they were like, this is Russian disinformation. You can't talk about this. It's not safe for our democracy. And the minute the election was over, they're like, by the way, the laptop was real.
That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage.
Did the same thing over to the Washington Post. Okay, and understand, that's not journalism. Okay, that's activism masquerading as journalism. Barack Obama, again, never heard a bad word for giving Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism in the world. They sponsor terrorism. They kill people. They blow them up. They attack us and our allies in the Middle East. They chant death to America. He gave them $50 billion in exchange for their word, that they wouldn't enrich uranium.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Like, I'm not telling you Barack Obama was a bad guy. Okay, but he was a terrible president.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Terrible president. The Affordable Care Act, okay, took your health care premiums up 300%. Hey, guys, we're passing an Affordable Care Act. Okay, and the Republicans, they decried it as Obamacare because they wanted to slander Obama. I get it. That's political gamesmanship right there. But it was a branding error by them because calling it Obamacare didn't really juxtapose the consequence of the bill, meaning the Affordable Care Act sent premiums up $300,000. In some instances, 300%. $300,000 is misspeak by me, and I do want to correct the record on that so we have an honest conversation.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
But 300%. Okay. People are now in a place where they're paying a healthcare premium that's 300% more expensive, and they still have a massive copay, $2,000, $5,000, depending on the plan. When Jenny needed to get her appendix out, it was cheaper for us to drop our health insurance and pay out of pocket because the hospital gives you a rate as someone without health insurance that's still very expensive, but cheaper than what you would be paying if you paid your premium and your copay. So at that point, it was more cost effective for us to drop the insurance. Does that sound like a good health plan?
The answer would be no.
No, the answer would be no. But the media didn't slam that because they didn't want to lose access to Obama. Okay, just the way they didn't call out Hillary Clinton in the summer of 2016 when she broke the law with classified documents. Okay, at the very least, if they're going to give her a free pass for that, you'd think the media would be apoplectic that they didn't prosecute Hillary, but yet they're prosecuting Trump. Of course they're not, because, again, going after a Republican is what they're here to do. But that's not a free and fair press. That's propagandists. So over at NPR, that's what Yuri Berliner wrote about. Said, hey, I'm a senior editor here. Okay. I looked up the voter registrations for the NPR newsroom in 2021 and found out that in our newsroom, we had 87 registered Democrats and zero registered Republicans.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Okay, so Yuri Berliner said on May 3rd, 2021, I represented the findings at an all-hands editorial staff meeting. When I suggested we had a diversity problem with a score of 87 Democrats and zero Republicans, the response wasn't hostile, it was worse. It was met with profound indifference. I got a few messages from surprised, curious colleagues, but the messages were of the, oh, wow, that's weird variety, as if the lopsided tally was a random anomaly rather than a critical failure of our diversity North Star. In a follow-up email exchange, a top NPR news executive told me that she had been skewered for bringing up diversity of thought when she arrived at NPR. So she said, I want to be careful how that we discuss this publicly. Okay, understand that. Okay, woman running NPR was like, we got to be careful how we discuss this because people gave me a hard time for bringing up the fact that we only have a bunch of liberals. Yeah, why? Because some people at the time were still invested in legitimate journalism. But the reason I'm telling you as a country, I harp on stuff like you don't care what goes on at NPR. You're not listening to NPR. You're listening to me. Very few people are listening to me and NPR. NPR is pretending they're cultured and, you know, reporting on Cambodian ska bands and two-spirit giraffes and weird woke ridiculousness. You know, I'm telling you like a hooker got in a fight with a mariachi band in the back of my taxi. Okay, we're doing something that's completely out to lunch over here. Okay, we're misfits on this show. We very much are a bunch of, with a punk rock of talk radio. Yeah, we're talking about the biggest issues facing the country, but we're not taking ourselves seriously when we do it. The show is a free-for-all. Okay, NPR takes itself seriously. They pretend these are like good, enlightened people. They're like the aristocrats, if you will. Okay, but understand, when you have a media that only goes out of its way to report the story in a way that benefits the political party they want access to, both political parties lose. Okay, it's not a win for Democrats, because if the people in power aren't held accountable, they enact policies that affect you just the same. Like, you understand, Obamacare is really bad for the country in terms of what it did to the soaring cost of health care. And just because some people were given free health care with your taxpayer dollars doesn't mean the trade-off was that the quality of your care improved or that the paperwork went down or the loopholes you had to jump through went away. No, ma'am. Okay, there's as much bureaucracy and red tape as ever, except it just cost you more to get through it. And that doesn't matter if you're a Republican. Obamacare didn't raise Republican premiums. It raised everybody's premiums. Okay, when you give $50 billion in cash assets to Iran and they chant death to America, they don't mean just the red states. They mean the whole thing. Okay, when Iran uses that money as a proxy and funds people coming into our country on the terror watch list who wish to do us harm, okay, when they engage in a terror act, they don't ask who you voted for. Okay, remember September 11th? They didn't go, hey, where can we find a building full of Republicans? Okay, because if they would have, they wouldn't have attacked New York City. Okay, New York City is 99% liberal, 96, 97. You see a different poll on it every day, but it's all above 95% here on the island of Manhattan. But the point is, these acts of terror, these people that want to harm us, okay, they don't want to harm us because of our politics. They want to harm us because we're here. So there's a lot of grave consequence that's what's going on in the country right now. The border's a really good example of that. And over at NPR, they would tell you border security is intolerant. It's based on some type of a racial animus. How dare Donald Trump want to secure the southern border? What's he got against different people from foreign countries? Never mind that the Democrats voted for border wall funding under Barack Obama. Never mind that the Democrats voted for border wall funding under George W. Bush. We can't say that. We might lose access. We might not get to go to the next party at the White House. Okay, that's how the game works. It's like they're treating the politicians like royals. And that allows the politicians to behave like serfs. Okay, and I'm not saying all the serfs are bad, but it's a lot of dirtbag stuff going on in Serftown, USA. Okay, and this is why him blowing the whistle at NPR matters so much to people on Twitter who work in journalism. They're going, see, we told you. It's like when Elon Musk bought Twitter and started to expose some of the goings on at Twitter. See, we told you. But the media is still not going to report on it because the media is not there to give you an informed public. The media is trying to coach you into behaving the way they need you to in order for their preferred party to win elections. Because what happens to people in media, and this happens to Republicans too, okay, there are guys in the media that can't criticize Trump. Okay, that's a thing because they don't want to lose access to Trump. They don't want to get cut off. What if Trump wins the presidency again? They want to go to the White House. That's cool. He's the president. Okay, but one of the reasons Fox gets trashed by Trump from time to time is because we got to call balls and strikes. If he does something ridiculous, we call it out. And then the next thing you know, you're the subject of a Truth Social post. I personally have never been on the receiving end of that. Have I criticized Trump in the past? Yes, I have. I have criticized Trump, not, you know, day in and day out. It's not like an MO for me. I've also had Trump retweet something I've said when I was talking about his relationship with Howard Stern. But one way or the other, I can see where the dopamine that comes from being involved at such a high level, okay, would gear people to steer towards the approval of that high-level figure. Okay, and that's everything going on in the media when it comes to Democrats. They are absolutely positively, and this is certainly true at NPR, something that gets their funding from the government, something that wants to stay in favor of the people cutting those checks. Okay, they are treating them like it's Buckingham Palace. And that's why you wind up in this situation where a guy finally has to blow the whistle because he goes, guys, listen, I'm a liberal. I support them myself. I'm not voting for Trump. but there's no way we're living up to the standards of journalism if we're just going to shill for one party. And there's no way it benefits the country because we're not having the most informed conversation about the issue. Do you know how many people talk about the Iranian nuclear deal? Nobody. When it was passed, the media was like, this is great. This is good for our country. It's a win for Obama.
That is a fact check false.
But we just moved on. It's like Obamacare. We don't go back, talk about what Obamacare did to the cost of health care. And that's the detriment of having, you know, a one, you know, one party town when it comes to the media. So I give Uri Berliner a lot of credit for being a whistleblower. He's voted Democrat in every election of his life. He will now spend the remainder of his days being labeled as a right-wing extremist who's a white supremacist, a homophobe, a transphobe, an election denier, a climate denier. He's never done any of these things, but that's exactly, okay, how he's going to be described from here to eternity because the media just wants to be on the right side of the Democratic Party.
The media is a bunch of losers.
A show so good, people don't know what to think.
This feels weird. Are you sure this is legal?
I don't know. It's fun though, isn't it?
Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Bottom of the ninth on Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. I am not on your TV tonight. I'm nowhere near your TV. Oh, my goodness gracious. Listen, if you knew what I was doing tonight, oh, my goodness. You know, what I was actually doing, this is fascinating. You guys will appreciate this. We just interviewed Dennis Quaid for the Saturday Night Show. And we're going through tonight. You know, I told you two nights ago, Dog the Bounty Hunter and I, we're tearing up the streets of Manhattan talking about crime and everything like that, bounty hunting and cab driving. And I have to watch all this footage tonight and find out how much of it is admissible to TV because he and I just completely forgot there were microphones, completely forgot there were cameras, and had a very real conversation about vice and the underworld and the things you see as a cab driver and a bounty hunter. It was deep. Like, we were like, when it was over, like when we got out of like the immersion tank, we had like a moment on the sidewalk, like, yo, it's like we kind of understood each other. But he's a badass. Like, he's not like one of those guys that does something on reality TV but isn't that thing in real life. Like, whatever you see Dog the Bounty Hunter doing on TV, oh, he's that guy. Like, if you walk around with him, he is so that guy. It was truly intense. So I've got to go do a little editing tonight, or at least some legal screening tonight, and I'll be back to report on those findings tomorrow. Diamond Dave Landau will be here. Jenny Fail will be here. There's a lot going on, and I'm coming to your city. Did you see my touring schedule? If you didn't, go to foxacrossamerica.com. I'm basically on the road every week from now until the election starts. So there's no excuses. If we don't hang out between now and November, it's because we just don't like each other is all I can say.
He's a lousy dad, but he's right.
Hi, kid. Pay up. Get out. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.